Welcome, welcome everyone to this week's So You Think You Can Dance wrap up for episode 11. My name is Lita Brillman. I am your host, and I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
Well, I'm good, Lita, but I gotta say, I'm on the ropes right now because Mary Murphy's mad at me.
Mary Murphy is mad at you?
Yes, this is real, everyone. So I never do this, but last night I was watching the show like 2 days late, and I decided to live tweet it instead, or even though it was 2 days late, which I don't really live tweet a lot of stuff, but I was live tweeting this. I had live tweeted Bachelor in Paradise before it. I was just in the mood, and I very like innocently, like it was not mean. It was nothing but factual. I just tweeted at Mary Murphy the correct pronunciation of Koine's name, because if you listen to this podcast, it was like a whole thing, us right, learning to pronounce Koine's name. I wrote it down phonetically the first time I heard Kat say it, and it was like a whole, and I have a system for remembering it. It's Koine like nickel and then A like Canada. So I just very innocently tweeted at Mary Murphy, among many other tweets of the that during that episode, that how to correctly pronounce Koine's name, because she had called her, what did she call her?
Kenoi.
She called her Kenoi.
Oh, and I noticed her. I think someone also like was putting a Spanish like enye and being like Koine or something.
Yes. Yeah. I heard that later, and then I wondered, but they were doing that in front of Koine. So then I was like, oh, maybe that's more accurate than what we're saying, but we're saying just like the super anglified version.
Right.
But she called her, Kenoi, and it was just such a moment of like, oh, the judges don't even bother to learn these people's names. And like, that's a real frustration for me. Like, I just really think that they should bother.
Yeah.
And you can see them. You can see them looking down at their sheet to make sure they know the name of the person they're talking to, blah, blah, blah. And she hadn't bothered to learn her name. And it made me mad. But instead of expressing my anger, being like, Mary, you need to do better, I just said, hey, Mary, it's pronounced Koine, not Kenoi. And then I added that like an extra little funny thing about Robert. Like, it was not all about Mary. And Mary tweeted back at me this morning. She said, you should feel bad. You would feel bad if you knew the horrific news that was told to me before the show. I'm so glad the dancing swept me away.
Whoa.
Right? It was like a lot. So then I tweeted back, we hope you feel better soon, heart emoji, because I don't know what to do with conflict.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But like, you would feel bad if you even knew.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, first of
you
all,
only knew.
It does, if something really horrific happens to you right before the show, you either can like say that at the top of the show, just be like, look, I'm off my game, or don't do the show. But either way, like, I don't see how something horrific being told to you will, if you don't, you either know this girl's name or you don't. And if it was a flub, like if it just came out wrong, then you laugh and say, oh, sorry, Koine. Like, I just blah, 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 blah. Right.
Right. Well, maybe she
just doesn't know her name, and she's like, you don't even know my life.
Yeah.
Like, look, man, it wasn't even a mean tweet. I'm actively against mean tweets. I had to stand up for Nappy Tabs in another when I got a mean. Someone replied to one of my tweets with a mean tweet, which is I'm new to live tweeting. This is happening all of a sudden. I'm just like, guys, relax.
Maybe. But Mary Murphy went to the Vanessa Hudgens school of performing after a tragedy.
Oh my God. No, she for sure didn't. And then, because Vanessa Hudgens, to go back to Grease Live. Oh my God. That, and even if you didn't know about her tragedy, she hit that out of the park. Mm-hmm. And then when you add it on, it's so extraordinary.
Yeah.
He just like buckled down and did it. That's my favorite thing about Vanessa Hudgens is Grease Live. And the fact that she did that after her dad died. Mary Murphy. This made me really mad. Like, I was really pro. I'm generally relatively pro Mary. I thought she looked particularly beautiful this week. She didn't say anything that made me mad except Kenoi.
Right.
And it wasn't a mean tweet. It was a very factual tweet. And I should feel bad because I don't know the horrific thing that was told to her. So if over the course of this podcast, we discover that you had a negative reaction to something she said, I don't remember anything else she said, we can chalk it up to she had horrific news and is now infallible.
Okay. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, that's her, seems to be her logic. So we're in a feud now, so you know, and Nigel listens to this podcast, as we learned a couple weeks ago. So, Nigel, I guess pass on my condolences or whatever, but also tell her to buck up because whatever.
Yeah. I think that other people have tweeted her about this.
I'm sure they have.
I'm looking at her. Yeah. And she said the same thing. If only people knew the news I was given. Glad I made it through. She said that to someone else. Anyway, she seems very insecure about this.
Yeah. Well, because it was the sort of, it was a really embarrassing mistake. Like yeah. Anytime you get somebody's name wrong, it's awkward. Because I've certainly, my brain has failed me. I once mixed up Talia and Kala, and it was like a big, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I never do this. But like, you know, like, and this one was particularly bad because it was like a foreign name and it was, yeah. But just own it. Just be like, look, I said it wrong. It's fine.
All right.
But
well, we're not in a real... We're not a real reality TV podcast until we're in a feud with the star of the show that we're talking about. I think
exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I think that it's legitimizing.
Yes. We have finally made it. Mary Murphy is aware of you and does not like you.
Yep. Oh, so many people don't. So many. We're good. We're just adding them to the list. It's great.
Well, let's move on to something more positive, which is the opening number.
Oh, yeah.
This show. I just dropped my phone. I don't know if that came through. I was so excited. I'm just like throwing things. I did not live tweet this, but the one thing I did tweet was that I really do try not to be hyperbolic on these podcasts. I really, I just don't think that it's hyperbole for me to say this is my favorite opening number of all time. I really am not trying to Nigel Lithgow this, but I can't think of anything that I have enjoyed as much as this. Maybe Ramalama. But
was that an opener?
It was. Yeah, it was the top 10.
I can't remember all of the openings, so I'm not in a position to say. I'd have to like go back and look and whatever. This was pretty special. We had seen on Twitter that he was going to be there.
Yes. Mark Kinnamura.
He's so special.
One of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, he's super, super great. And this was cool because it was very identifiably Mark.
Yes.
He had a very strong artistic point of view. It didn't look like anything else on the show except maybe previous Mark choreography.
Which is also my favorite routine ever. Another Mark piece.
It didn't look exactly like that piece either. It didn't look like totally repetitive. So I thought this really portrayed a strong artistic voice. And it was so cool to have him back. I feel like he's like an honest God dancer. And that was great.
Yeah. And just the relationship that I was seeing on Twitter between him and RuPaul and the show and RuPaul's Drag Race fans was just...
Yeah, because it was a RuPaul song.
Yeah, and it was a new RuPaul song, so not one that people necessarily know. It's called Call Me Mother. It's
new, like, as in he's releasing, like, he's, like, recording now?
Yeah, his newest album came out in March of this year.
Whoa, I didn't know that he was, like, still doing that.
Yeah. So,
I don't know anything about RuPaul. I don't know if this is obvious.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Drag Race and of RuPaul. So, yeah, he came out with a new album this year and this was on that album. So this was a little bit of a pull. This wasn't just like I'm going to do a big drag number and do a classic RuPaul song. This was just like this was the best song for this. And I thought that this made me like Robert even more specifically.
Yeah, he was pretty fabulous the group. Choreographers do tend to favor Robert. He's always spotlighted. I don't know that he's ever been spotlighted quite like this. He basically did the opening as a solo.
Yes.
He was very dynamic. He had a lot of personality in this. He does tend to generify himself a little bit, I think, which is I think it's a strong career move for him, especially in dance, because let's face it, dancers aren't stars. Like they're all in the background by definition. That's like their job, mm-hmm. unless you're going to work in an actual dance company. But these people are not dance company people. They are like backup dancer people, like pop culture, entertainment world stuff. Mm-hmm. So being able to be really chameleonic is a really good quality. It's a marketable quality. It's not really a star quality. And so remembering that he can pull out that sort of like put a spotlight on me and let me go thing, it was very nice to see from Robert, because we've been down on him this season due to the crushing mediocrity of his partner.
Yes, the crushing mediocrity. So speaking of crushing mediocrity, Vanessa's hair is tragic.
Oh my God, Vanessa. This
is not acceptable.
Talk about someone who has no idea who she is.
Yeah.
She's just in a different I literally tweeted this out. I thought she looked like she was doing Killer Frost cosplay, which is a character from Flash. And every week, we talked about this last week, she looked like a Kardashian / Wednesday Addams. Like, she just, every week, it's something totally unrecognizable, totally different. She's a totally different person. And she continues to say absolutely nothing.
Yes, absolutely nothing. So
nothing. But she doesn't have the good sense to actually make her nothing sound like nothing. Like, if you have nothing to say, don't say anything. Don't just say random words. Like, come on.
Yeah, this show does have a storied history of judges just saying random words that don't mean anything. But this week we are going to have no solos. Thank goodness. We have two duets, one with their all-star and one with another contestant who are paired up based on just whatever the producers want. I guess we're not given any information about how this happens.
It made sense, though. It made really logical sense who was paired with who.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we need to see Lex and Taylor dance together but not reference their real life relationship? Wouldn't that have made it more interesting?
Oh my God, that was hilarious. That was so, I felt that was so classic So You Think You Can Dance too, where they're like, well, we're going to hint that maybe there might be romance, because that sells really well, right? They do this to everybody. Like, anytime someone's dancing together, they're like, maybe they're in love, but they actually are in love.
Yeah,
and then nothing. Like, when Twitch and Allison were dating for years and we didn't know.
Yeah.
They don't tell us. They love to hint that it might be a possibility between people that, or it's not an actual possibility. And then they never confirm. And maybe that's a privacy thing or whatever, but it's like, it's Instagram public.
Yeah. And it was so funny because they were like, we're going to have to get these two to fall in love on stage, which is tough when you've got two 19-year-olds. It's like, don't act like this is pulling teeth. Maybe it is like pulling teeth with them. Maybe they just, neither of them have any chemistry, but so funny.
That's an old Friends joke, right? The thing of if you're actually together, or even if you're not like in a relationship, but you're doing some stuff off stage, you don't have any chemistry on stage because it relieves the tension. So, yeah, that was a Friends storyline. And so that, I don't know if that's actually real or if that's just a thing Friends invented for a joke and has become sort of like mythology.
I'm not sure.
Certainly, I in my experience, there's sort of like some couples, they have extraordinary chemistry, and some couples they're just better with other people. There doesn't seem to be any sort of consistent rule, but that is a theory. That real life couples don't have much tension on stage, because realistically, couples, like established couples, don't have much tension because they're so established.
That's true. Or Lex is just a brick wall.
Yes. Well, Lex is a brick wall. We got some tweets about this week about how he couldn't even have chemistry with his own girlfriend. Is there any hope for an actual win for someone with that shockingly little charisma? And my guess is no, because even Keon, who was sort of the most, impenetrable, maybe he was the most impenetrable winner. Even he had quite a lot of charm when you got to know him. I just don't see this happening. I think it's going to go to someone with a better mix of technique and personality, like a Mark or a Logan.
Yeah, I think that Lex is a lock for the finale, but he's not going to win.
I think he's a lock for the Heather Morris spot, meaning someone who gets voted out somewhere in the middle because they're not really rootable.
No, I disagree. I think he's too handsome to go home that early.
I don't think he's handsome at all. But
I am thinking about the 12-year-old girls who are texting and texting and texting. And I think that he is appealing to them.
You don't think they're voting for Mark?
I think they're also voting for Mark. Mark's only been the bottom once, right? And that was like,
yeah, but all sorts of really amazing dancers have been in the bottom once, and it's very, or twice, and it's startling.
Yeah, but I think that it's also indicative. I think it's, once people have been in the bottom for a couple weeks, then the judges are going to have to send them home, because it's clearly what America wants.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. I think that they're also voting for Mark, but I think, which is why I'm saying I think that Logan, I mean that Lex is a lock for the finale, but not necessarily for the win.
Okay, I would like people to tweet us and post in the comments section, do you think Lex is attractive?
Okay, so he's also 19.
Well, no. Okay, but like, suspend your disbelief on the 19-year-old thing, because you can do that. Like, this my mom did this all through the Bachelor season. She was like, I can't, well, I'm 60, Kelly. I can't say if I find Peter attractive. I'm like, yes, you can, mother. Just suspend your disbelief.
No, but I'm saying people might not be able to find him attractive. I feel weird about it, and I'm only 3 years older than him.
No, but like, but you can, though. Like, everyone, okay. You just can. Like, you can, the way you deal with celebrities all the time, like, you think young movie stars are handsome if you're an older person and vice versa. Like, I truly believe you can suspend your disbelief. If you cannot, then I would like you to tell us if you would think he was attractive, or you think that he is attractive to 19-year-olds. I honestly believe he's not attractive at all, but that's also because I'm a heavy personality person, and if you never speak / never reveal that you have anything really going on of interest in your brain, I don't care what your face looks like. I don't care how you can, you know, what your arabesque looks like either. So maybe that's affecting me. I don't know. Could go either way. I would like to hear from the audience as a tiebreaker on this issue, because I don't know that we can definitively say he'll be in the finale because he's attractive.
Okay. This is my prediction that he's going to the finale. That's all I'm saying. I would vote for Lex if I were
certainly but a tween. The judges. Really amazing that we are such different people. But certainly the judges think he'll be there. But the judges also think Taylor will be there. So, like, what do they know?
Well, they know
who they're going to be there. Oh my god,
they know who they're not going to send home. If Lex or Taylor ends up in the bottom in the next couple weeks, they're not going home.
Right? Isn't that like deeply upsetting?
It is deeply upsetting. Here's the campaign to. The call to action to the listeners is to just please don't vote for Taylor. Just let her be in the bottom a few weeks in a row so that the judges have to send her home.
Yeah, when does this judge saving nonsense stop? I mean, okay. Know. On one hand, you never know, though, because like, what if like the least votes this week went to Koine? Like, this safeguard is in place to protect the people like Koine this week and Mark last week, who were in the bottom for crazy, crazy reasons.
Yeah.
But if they actually got the least votes,
I don't think it's a matter of the least votes. I just think that if it's a matter of being in the bottom multiple times.
Well, in terms of the judges letting you go, right. Yes. But if we got rid of the judges letting you go so that we could feasibly get rid of Taylor, it might put people like Mark and Koine in danger. Anyway, so I'm about to complain about this. Oh, but what if that's the only thing keeping my people safe? And I don't know anymore, Lena. Yeah. I'm nervous.
We're results oriented. Whatever keeps our favorites safe is the best system.
I got so nervous this week. I literally like sighed audibly when the results went in my direction.
Yeah, they
did. Let's just say. Because it got really close there for a second.
Yeah.
Now that tension has relieved itself a little bit, because we all know I've been nervous about Fiction taking another prize home. But I am now very nervous about Taylor just keeping going, because holy moly, they loved her this week.
Yeah, she's another person that I think could feasibly make the finale. I don't think she will. I think she's going to go home in the 6 or 5 spot. She could make the finale. I really don't see her getting all of America's votes to win. I just don't really know what the appeal is.
She hasn't been the bottom yet.
She hasn't been the bottom yet, which is why I think she'll make it far. But I don't know if she has win equity, as we say. But
both of my winner picks have been in the bottom three.
That's true. And one of them we are going to talk about right now. We've got Marco and Koine, and they are doing jazz with Mandy Moore, and there's no stories, so we're happy. Right?
Yeah, but it was just fine, It was good. They danced it well, but like,
It was fine. I feel like Koine is just a performance superstar. Like, she performs the crap out of everything. But that said, this wasn't the most exciting choreography.
I think If there was any question about how unbelievable Koine is, we can just look at these partner dances that they did with like other contestants. And everybody else was paired in a way that they got to dance their own style. Everyone else, even the person she was dancing with, and they picked They gave them the cha-cha so that Kiki wouldn't have to do something
else. Salsa.
Sorry, salsa. I don't even know. It was one of the Latin things.
Well, it is an important distinction just because salsa is a tiny bit out of Kiki's wheelhouse, more so than cha-cha is.
I mean, okay, sure.
But no, your point is completely valid. I just want to make sure because it's a little bit different because it's an international Latin style. And this is, it doesn't matter.
Right. But also, you're in charge of all facts and I'm in charge of ranting, I guess. The truth is Lita's domain. So she was the only person dancing out of her style and she was with Kiki, which is just whatever. And she was incredible. Like, I can't get over this girl. I just think she's amazing.
Yeah. And I loved that routine. We can just kind of bounce around.
Yeah, we'll do like what you usually do with where you put people's routines in the order in which they appeared on the stage, even if it was just their solo. Because it makes the most sense to me to, if we don't have something to say about something, we can just like lump it in with our thoughts on their performance or in the night overall.
Right. So I think there's not a ton to say about the Marco and Corne routine. Very solid as always. I loved this salsa. I know that you have your issues with Daddy Kiki, but this was.
Wait, you know that was a thing? That was news to me.
No, but I'm in on it.
Are you?
Yes.
No, you're not.
He's so hot.
No, he's not. What is with your taste, woman?
If you don't agree with, if you don't think that someone is hot, you just should assume that I do.
Oh my God, apparently. Wait,
we're the voice of all of the people. So everyone out there has to agree with one of us.
Important distinction that's just character defining right now. The Amy Poehler, Tina Fey test. Colin Firth or Farrell?
I don't know what Colin Farrell looks like.
What? Wait, really?
What was he in?
You don't know who Colin Farrell is?
I know of him.
This is fascinating. Colin Farrell is, you Google him while I talk about him for a second.
Yeah, I am Googling him. I've never seen him before.
Because what? He's very, very handsome, but he's a character actor. Like, he's a really interesting, weird guy with weird taste. He's an extraordinary actor, but he's really bad when you give him a leading man hot guy role. He gets really bored and he does nothing. So there are a lot of people who think he's a terrible actor. This also applies to Ethan Hawke in his own little way. So he's getting known to be a better actor now that he's aging out of his looks a little bit and starting to get weirder roles. But back in the day, he used to be like the lead of Total Recall and he just looked like the worst actor.
Can I say
ever.
Neither Firth or Farrell? Can I say Mark Ruffalo? He's kind of a similar type, right? I don't know.
No, you have to pick a Colin.
But neither of them are handsome.
What? Okay.
Did I fail the test?
I don't even know what to do with this information. Oh my God. Wait, have you never seen, you've never seen Bridget Jones is what you're telling me.
That's Colin Firth.
Wait.
I know who he is.
Yes, I know. I know, but if in order for you to not think he's attractive, it means you've never seen Bridget Jones.
No, I've only seen him in Mamma Mia. Oh, in The King's Speech.
Oh, that makes sense then that you don't think he's attractive, but you're wrong, but it's just because you're misinformed. So that's fine. Or uninformed. I'm going to give you like a to-do list of movies. We have some things to fix.
Okay, well, I think that Kiki is extremely handsome. And
he did shave this week. I liked. I like a good clean. He shaved. I like a good clean shaven face.
Because we're the opposite people. That's true. But yeah, so I loved the salsa. I thought it was really, really fun.
You know what also isn't hot at all is calling people daddy. I'm calling that. Who invented this daddy Kiki thing? This is the worst thing.
No,
that's
I
ever
did not
happened.
See this on Twitter. He also did not seem thrilled about it. In his defense,
he did not. No, because it's so genuinely creepy. I can't. It's the worst. Like, I hate it so much.
Did you enjoy the salsa?
Oh, okay, I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. And I would like to point out that Koine seemed to love working with Kiki, which was very illuminating and made me like him a little bit more. She was really nuzzling in there when they were getting their critiques. And I thought that was very interesting. I do think there is, in Kiki's favor, something really attractive about a really good partner.
Yes.
You know, when you extrapolate that into larger relationship terms, it's the idea of a partner, the, you know, stabilizing force, not flashy, right there for you, never going to drop you. In a metaphorical sense, it's a very attractive thing. Again, going back to, it's not a star quality thing. There's no reason he should win this show. And it's why the strategy with Jenna, where Jenna's the star, is working for them. But it is an attractive feature, and I could see how it really worked for Koine.
Can our listeners also please let us know if you think Kiki is attractive?
Yeah, they don't. Come on, guys.
Yes, they do.
They might. Kiki much more reasonably than
the
Lex.
Especially,
but they're bad glasses. They're not glasses.
Stop.
No, because I love glasses, because like you put a boy in glasses and he goes up like 10 points at least, but not like hipster old man glasses.
I'm firing like, you for managing my love life.
Yes, this is a thing that I was signed up to do last week. But I guess no, because I also would never pair you with someone that I think is attractive, because like that's not going to work. I would pair you with someone who adheres to your crazy, weird voices. But I don't like the glasses trend of like ironic, ugly things annoys me.
I just don't think they're ugly or ironic. I just think that they're attractive.
I think he thinks they're ironic.
Okay. Well,
you know whose glasses I do like is Val's, the ones he was wearing a couple weeks ago.
Of course you do.
Yeah. I also think he was pulling off that turtleneck. So. Oh my
No.
Well, because Cyrus, I thought this was so funny. Cyrus is like, Val is the swaggiest person I've ever met. And that's so true, because you have to admit, you have to be hella swaggy to pull off that turtleneck.
If Cyrus says you're the swaggiest dude he's ever met, then I have to believe him, because Cyrus is the swaggiest dude I've ever seen.
Exactly.
But I didn't even think about the turtleneck. I think Val is just someone that I don't really.
Oh, that's because you don't watch Dancing with the Stars, though. Like,
I watch someone Dancing with the Stars. Let's not propagate like, false truths. I am not. I don't go way back with Dancing with the Stars.
Because he's someone who, in real life, I wouldn't even talk to, like, ever. Like, he's so not my type at all. But he's so, he, like, wins you over eventually if he gets enough screen time, which is why you have to watch Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject, let's just get into Kaylee and Cyrus. They did a cha-cha with Val. I thought the story was so weird. And then as soon as they got on stage, the story didn't even, like, translate at all. They're like, Cyrus is a stay-at-home husband and he's cleaning all day. And then Kaylee gets home from work and doesn't have time to give him attention. And then they just go and, like, have a really hot, sexy routine where it seems like she's giving him a lot of attention.
Yeah, well, this was just your basic, like, they wanted to do Respect, the song.
Yes.
They wanted to do a story because you're told you have to, unless you're Mandy Moore.
Right.
And so he wanted, like, this was the idea Val came up with. Then he looked at who he had and was like, oh, I'd better flip the genders. And also because it helps to flip the genders because it makes it a lot less problematic. Right. And it made sense to me.
I guess
it was a little like convoluted. It was not necessary, but I it's very easy for me to figure out how he got here.
Just the choreography was in no way consistent with the story that we were told, except that there was a vacuum.
Oh, I mean, that's also a Dancing with the Stars thing. That's like our story is not, it's like mostly a costuming thing. Like,
yeah.
And so, and like some of the business at the start, but Len is so intense about he has all these words, like he's very British. He's like, I don't like the lollygagging in the middle. Like he doesn't like too much storytelling. He doesn't like too much miming or whatever in the middle of the dance, which I agree with because I want to see some content. And so they've sort of adapted and they've started basically doing like a really straightforward, what Val calls a syllabus salt. Was this a cha-cha? Yeah, this was a cha-cha.
Yes. I thought this was, Kaylee was great at the cha-cha.
She was fantastic. I mean, I love Kaylee.
They're
so hard on Kaylee.
Yeah, they are.
But basically the whole story is in like the first 10 seconds and it's just like costuming. And then they're just like, and now we're doing cha-cha by the ballroom syllabus because otherwise Len will yell at us and we're pulling that over into our understanding of the other show, even though they're totally different shows.
Yes. So I apologize for bouncing around too much, but let's finish up Kiki and then we can go to Kaylee's next routine and then get back on track because we were already.
That was probably my fault.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. So Kiki and Jenna are going to do their routine. It's a jazz routine with Travis, and there is too much going on for me. They're a piece of pop art, but there's also a plot. Like, I don't understand why they're pop art that also she is trying to steal a check from him.
Do you want to know why they're pop art?
Why? So Kiki can hide behind a costume?
Yeah. It's so that Kiki doesn't have to do very much, but it's so hyper stylized that it looks like he's doing a lot.
At least he did do more than he did in the Joker routine.
That's not hard.
There was no just standing there holding a money gun.
I mean,
why are their routines always about money?
The revelations of Kiki's connectiveness with this dance community are, I'm starting to feel like all of the choreographers and the judges are just trying to set up their friend for success here. Like, everybody's just giving it, and I also see it with Lex too. Like, it, I mean, not always, because he can do more, so you don't have to do this as much, but like, you certainly saw it in the Lex and Taylor routine, where it's like everybody's just giving him stuff that's going to make him look super good in a way that I don't think they do for other people. Was so easy and so this was like the phone it in routine of the year, and like it looked flashier than the, like, I feel like more people were able to see through the hip hop thing than are able to see through this, because this looks so interesting and high concept, but it was not high content. And man, it annoyed me so much.
I think the full on makeout is always a strong move for voters also.
Yeah. Yeah. This was Travis playing the game the way Travis knows how to play, or has learned how to play the game since losing the game.
Yes, I love anything where Jenna's barefoot, because her feet blow my mind.
Yeah, I don't care about her feet.
There was that. Okay, Jenna's just an amazing dancer. She's just ridiculous.
But she wasn't dancing in this. She was posing, because this was a posing routine.
I suppose so. I didn't hate this. I thought that costuming did a great job. Which they don't always.
Yeah, they do some bad stuff sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought they looked great.
We somehow got out of the Koine and Marco part without talking about his hair.
Oh, we don't need to talk about it.
Well, who's braiding all the boys' hair?
Yeah, this is a week
Cyrus
of bad
also
braids.
Also looks so silly.
Cyrus needs to just have his mohawk.
Cyrus is like, come on. We know how to solve the problem of Cyrus's hair, which was never a problem, because it's just like, just whatever. Anyway,
yes.
Yeah. The costume department did an okay job here. I don't care. I hated this. This was so ridiculous.
Okay. I did not hate it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. So we will get back into Kaylee, and then we will stop jumping around and making this confusing. No,
this
sorry,
is very
everyone.
Easy. We'll do Kaylee, and then we'll do Kaylee who
Logan.
Danced with who'd she dance with in
Logan her,
with Logan, and then we'll do Logan, and then we'll it makes sense. We'll use the transitions as transitions.
Okay, so Kaylee and Logan are paired up, which I think is a very interesting partnership. They both comment on how they always get comments from the judges about being really unique, but they are really unique in different ways. So I was excited about this, and there were Travis, and I was a little bit underwhelmed by this routine, because I felt like Kaylee's role in this, the story was that she was his shadow, and I felt like it was a little too on the nose, because I felt like he really outdanced her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and this is another one where, like, they just highlighted, like, another choreographer. Christopher Scott never would have done this to her, is what I'm saying. Like, a different choreographer could have set them both up for success, and they didn't. They kind of were like, well, Kaylee's inferior, and thus she will be inferior, and she will have the inferior role. She also, speaking of the costuming department and their various failures, did she look like sadness to you?
Yes, from Inside Out.
Yes.
So you're saying, unlike Val, she was not rocking that turtleneck?
Okay. It's not that Val was rocking that. It was just that in compared to all other people wearing turtlenecks, he was doing a little bit better than most people. It was still a mistake to wear the turtleneck.
Okay.
Like it always is to wear. Yes, a turtleneck.
Including in this instance with Kaylee.
Yes. And but I thought it was, you know, like her makeup was like grayish blue because obviously she can't just do blackface. So like it was that was I was thinking about that. I was like, why is she blue?
It didn't even occur to me.
But of course she's blue because they can't paint her black because it's awkward, even though she's like a shadow. She's not trying to be a person, but it still counts.
Yes.
So like. She Absolutely. Was bluish gray. And then you combine that with the, it was, I don't, was it a total turtleneck or was like, it's just a weird sort of like cowl neck thing. I don't know what it was, but it was high up.
Much.
And she looked like sadness, like from inside out.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt.
She looked toasty.
Watching her struggle against this nothing role in a beautiful Logan showpiece. It was a fine routine, but poor Kaylee, she's just so set up for failure.
Yeah. Well, if it had been with anyone else, I probably would have been more upset about it, but I really want Logan to win. So
fair. And Logan was wonderful this week. And, you know, he's my favorite person on Team Step Up for sure. Like, he's lovely. He's my third place winner pick. But like, I this made me sad. And then you pair it with the comments, like when she did her cha-cha, which she absolutely nailed. Mm-hmm. They just talked a lot about how Cyrus can't do the cha-cha. And I was just like, guys, get on board. Like, I know you love Taylor and you love Kiki and you don't love Kaylee. But when Kaylee outperforms those other two, I want to hear about it. And I haven't heard about it at all yet. And it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, they do not seem super in on Kaylee. So I was excited that she survived this week.
I was shocked that she survived.
I was surprised. I think I would have been okay either way just because I also love Dassey, but it was encouraging to me that they aren't just like out to get Kaylee.
Yeah, this felt like a numbers game though, right? Like Dassey'd been in the bottom twice and Kaylee hadn't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I think that was just a matter of numbers.
Yeah. So,
but I was very much expecting them to keep Dassey. So I was also glad, but they only get so much credit. Yeah.
So let's talk about my favorite routine of the night. It's not even close. We have Logan and Allison doing hip hop with Christopher Scott. And I cannot explain why I started crying the second the music started and did not stop for the entire routine.
I loved it. And it was, this was the only one I rewound and watched again. Mm-hmm. And it was not a complicated routine. It looked a lot like the Philip and Janine routine that's opened season 5. You know, it was not actually a special routine, but I feel like we're just so crowded in these angsty, over dramatic things. And this was happy and sweet and simple. And it was just, it was a joyful, lovely, loving routine about a positive, like happy relationship. And we just don't get any of those. And then we were bringing in like how delightful this pairing is. Like they're so good for each other. They support each other so well. And then we're also subconsciously bringing in a lot of like, he's playing Allison's husband. We know Allison's husband. We love right. Allison's husband. And like, there was just so much going on that was just all in a positive direction. And I feel like we get none of that in the world anymore.
Like, And I think this said so much about like, we've talked about this connection, this lack of connection between Robert and Taylor and how maybe there's like an age gap thing or whatever, but there's the same age gap between Logan and Allison. And it's the quote unquote weirder gender. It's the more uncommon gender dynamic where she's older. Mm-hmm. So theoretically it should be even more challenging for them, but it just doesn't matter. They're playing husband and wife and they're just in love and they're happy. And it just, I don't know. It really got to me because you're right. We don't see this a lot. And I think a lot of the time it can be just as moving and just as powerful to see something about real, pure, healthy love in art as it can be to see something about depression or addiction or whatever the issue is.
Absolutely. I generally cry really easily, but I don't cry at sad stuff. Like the things that get me very consistently other than like movies about dogs are like the strength of the human spirit, people showing up for each other when they didn't have to, like that sort of thing. And just unabashed like human kindness and sweetness, and especially when it comes by surprise, really delights me. And again, I love Christopher Scott. Yeah. This was not really what we usually expect from him, but it is something we know he can do. Like, we've seen him do lyrical hip hop before. He's also at heart, like, he's like a really sweet kind of nerdy white guy. Like, he does hip hop. He's actually a tap dancer. Like, he's not the grittiest guy in the world. So when he does something that's just big old beating heart, it doesn't surprise me that much. I think this is kind of the love of dance and like general happiness. He's like the well-adjusted comedian, right? Like, he's like a John Mulaney as opposed to a Marc Maron. He just, yes. A nice, sweet routine to me feels like it's at the heart of Christopher Scott, which is just like, that guy loves to dance. And it's just, it's all happiness. I just love him so much. And I'm glad he put this out in the world. And I'm glad he did it with Logan and Allison, because I think that they did a wonderful job. It did feel a little bit, I did feel the age difference a little bit. When he said, I'm like the obnoxious little brother, I did see there is a little bit of that. There is no getting rid of that. I think they did a great job understanding that there is no getting rid of that.
Yeah, I all props to Christopher Scott, to Allison, to Logan. This was just a beautiful routine and one that I will definitely be watching more. This was such a good episode. I thought this was such a strong episode because I went back and watched the opening a bunch of times in a row, like a bunch of times. I watched it like six times. And then I watched this twice in a row. So good on them.
It was a great episode.
There are many episodes where I don't want to watch anything twice.
Yeah. All three... I think the duets between contestants were a vast improvement on Time Wasting Solos. All three of them, even the one I didn't particularly love because of Kaylee, I liked all three routines.
Yeah.
Loved the opening. Like, yeah, even the totally shoehorned in All-Star number with the like sheets of plexiglass or whatever they were.
Yeah.
That was cool. Like, it was a great episode. Really, really good episode, with the exception of some judges' comments things. And especially once I knew the outcome, I'd be more comfortable watching it again. But my heart was my heart couldn't take it in the moment.
Yes. So we touched on Dassie earlier. She ultimately ends up leaving us. So she has a contemporary routine with Fiction choreographed by Jackie Royal.
Yeah. So into Jackie Royal.
Yeah, she
loves some Jackie Royal.
She also choreographed the All-Star group routine. So she does these pretty interesting pieces. So she and Fiction, it's like a very core, intensive, athletic routine. To me, it looks like figure skating, a value judgment. There's just a lot of him spinning her and gliding.
That's totally, I was watching and I was like, I've seen that before, but it's not a dance move. You're absolutely right. That was like a figure skating thing. Yeah, there's something about the weight distribution of a lot of the lifts. You're right. That's exactly what it is.
I do think she's never looked more beautiful.
Oh my God, I agree.
She took pretty well to contemporary, to this routine.
She did, especially when you consider, like, I thought it was really interesting, this conversation about like muscle groups.
Yes.
This isn't a thing we talk about a lot on this show because we take for granted the choreographer asks you to do something, you can do it. With the people who are not trained in all genres, even if they're, you know, naturally graceful or have done a couple classes or whatever, the move from hip hop to contemporary, this is not something we talk about a lot, especially because a lot of them are the dudes and the dudes tend to be really strong. This idea of like, maybe she just doesn't have the core muscles to do contemporary. Yeah. That was a really fascinating topic of conversation. She did a beautiful job, but I'm sure it was very, very hard work.
Yeah, it's something that comes up sometimes with male ballroom dancers. I think Kiki's spoken about a little bit with like, I just am not flexible enough to do that. And so you'll see it with flexibility, but it's not just that. There are some things that, like, if you haven't worked those specific muscle groups since you were five, like, you're just not going to be physically able to do this. So I was really impressed with her.
Yeah. Yeah. She had really good control. I was very impressed. It was a cool routine. Jackie had done another routine we really liked earlier in the year, though I don't remember what it was. I remember thinking, oh, good, a new contemporary person that I like. So it's not just all Travis all the time. Yeah, no, this was great. I don't think it was good enough that I was really torn up that she left.
Yeah.
But I think that they did a very good job, especially on the grading curve, of totally out, like she was totally physically unprepared for it. Mm-hmm. I think she climbed a pretty high mountain and she came pretty close.
Yeah. Interesting note. They cut to her friend. They always cut to people's friends and family in the audience. Yaya was in the shot as one of Dassie's friends.
Oh, was she? I saw her there. I didn't make the association that she was with Dassie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they cut to her a couple times, but one of them was when they had the little lower third with Dassie's friends, which makes sense. I mean, those two naturally would dance together.
Did we talk about, because Yaya is in Dragon House, was Dassie the person we were talking about being like an inevitable Dragon House person eventually? We had talked about someone earlier in the season joining Dragon House. One day.
Yeah, I would hope so. It was either her or Kaylee, because I think we were talking about it in the context of like, it's a good thing that the person who's already in this group is their partner.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it would have been her because I do. I don't know that they actually, even if they have crossover, I don't know that they actually take non-hip hop dancers.
Yeah.
Because Jasmine's not technically in, right? She just was like, for a while.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that conversation was about Dassie, and so Yaya's in there, so that's another good sign.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
So hopefully that works out for Dassie. And her routine is with Mark, and they bond over having both been in the bottom. They have a Chris Scott umbrella routine.
Oh my god.
And both of us had the same thought. So I retweeted the routine that Ivan and Allison did. There's the Ivan reference. Ivan and Allison did in season 2. It was a Shane Sparks routine. It was like a lyrical hip hop routine.
It was the first lyrical hip hop routine ever on the show, yes, I think.
It was, yeah. And then after I had retweeted that, you tweeted me that routine.
Because what we were referring to was Vanessa, because she's Vanessa.
Yes. Ugh.
Says, I haven't seen an umbrella routine since Singing in the Rain, which, first of all, like, lots of people dance with umbrellas. So that's crazy, even outside of the context of the show. But then when you take in the fact that one of the landmark routines in the show is history, like it is, when I say it is the first major lyric, I don't know if it was the first ever, I think it was certainly the first notable lyrical hip hop routine. You think about the legacy of lyrical hip hop on this show. This routine was huge. It was also the first time that a hip hop dancer had really emerged as someone who could really do softer things. And it like pointed to him being able to do contemporary and that he could. Like, this was a huge deal. It was also involved someone who is on the show right now. And right. it basically showed us that Vanessa had never seen the show before. And I had this very like palpable moment of like, oh, I bet Lita's really angry because she loves Ivan. And this is
I love
moment.
That routine. I remember when I got my first iPod when I was 11. And so I think Can Dance season 2 had just aired. Like, all of the songs that I went to download were just the songs of the routines that I like. And Sexy Love by Neo, yeah. I think.
Yeah, because like, the Philip and Janine song was also a Neo one.
Yeah, I think that Sexy Love was like the fourth song I ever downloaded on my iPod.
Was
so
the
I
other
know.
One Why by Annie Lennox?
That was on there. Yes, it was. Another Ivan Allison routine. I think Sexy Back, of course, that was the top 4 routine. They were all, the whole playlist is just songs from So You Think You Dance season 2. It was my entire music taste. Anyway,
I have a similar playlist called The Dancing.
Allison retweeted this routine.
Yeah,
this
did.
Was not lost on her.
Yeah, she. Yeah, I tweeted at and Christopher Scott also retweeted something from my live tweeting nonsense. But first of all, Allison. OK, I hadn't seen this routine in a really long time. This Allison and Ivan routine. Allison is like the pinnacle of like early 2000s hotness in this routine, yeah, with the straight hair and the crazy like low rise jeans and a high top. That's just like short jeans, but low rise pants. And it's just like abs for days. I'm doing hand gestures. I don't know that that's helpful on a podcast. It was so nice to be reminded of this routine. It's unfortunate
so good.
That the reminder came from Vanessa just being a dum-dum.
Yeah, the routine is so good, though. I sometimes worry that, like, maybe the caliber of dance wasn't as high or something. Maybe it wasn't as competitive in season two. So when I go back and watch the routines that still hold up and are still so, so good, I'm always just really happy. So go and watch that routine, Sexy Love.
Yeah, they do put down the umbrellas faster than I remembered.
Yeah, they do.
But they do dance with it was known as the umbrella dance. So whether Chris knew that or not, that's not his responsibility. But I was glad to see the umbrellas come back because they are there's the umbrellas, there's the table, there's the door, there's the bench. There's like a couple iconic like props in So You Think in Dance History. Yeah. And the umbrellas was really like a main, like a groundbreaking one. So I'm always happy to see something like that be brought back up in some way. And yeah. Everyone should throw it in Vanessa's face.
Yeah. So the routine itself, I actually did think was very captivating.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, it was no Sexy Love, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. They did a great job with it. I love both these people and Christopher Scott. Literally no going wrong with him ever.
Yes. Thank you, Christopher Scott.
Yeah.
For all of your work.
Good interview with him on myentertainmentworld.ca in case anyone's interested.
Ooh, quick plug.
Yep.
Everyone go check that out. So Mark is paired with, that's Marco. They both have M-A-R-K in their names. So Mark is paired with Comfort, of course. It's his all-star. Sorry, this bouncing around is a lot. So my eyes totally lit up when I heard Mark and Comfort Broadway. And then, so there was Spencer Liff, and I'm like, what a blessing. This is not a Broadway routine. Come on. No,
this was a jazz
Vanessa,
routine.
Even at one point, and I forgive Vanessa for saying, she says, like, this is a great jazz routine. She says, that's the sexiest jazz routine I've ever seen. It's like, LOL.
But then she also calls Spencer Lift. So, you know. Okay.
Yeah, but I actually do forgive her for calling this a jazz routine. A postmodern jukebox cover of a Fiona Apple song is in no way Broadway. Nothing about this. Nothing about the movement was Broadway. Are you kidding me? We finally get a Fiona Apple song on the show, who's one of my favorite artists ever, and it's this.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the routine. I have come to terms after many rants in previous episodes about the fact that Broadway in no way resembles Broadway.
But sometimes it does. This season we have had actual Broadway routines.
Occasionally, but even, and actually the Lex and Taylor routine we're about to talk about, I thought actually did look like Broadway, especially when you think, when you consider the song was American in Paris, which is a very different type of Broadway musical that is so dance heavy that they actually do just like pas de deux that are story based, that are not, you know, standard Broadway dancing. I'm used to it though. I was just sort of like at terms with the idea that this was jazz. I thought they did a great job. It was super sexy, and I liked what they did with Mark's hair. I don't know what else we can ask for.
Yeah, I just thought that I had accepted it for many seasons as Broadway is never Broadway, but I just thought that we had a few in a row here this season that maybe they were taking it more seriously.
And Spencer generally does more actual Broadway than the other choreographers, so I can see how your hopes would get higher.
Yeah, this is not Tyce DiIorio, just does... At least Tyce uses Broadway songs. They're usually jazz routines set to Broadway. This was a jazz routine set to jazz.
Yeah, I'm sure he shoehorned it in somewhere. Like, I'm sure there is some show somewhere that has something to do with this song. And he...
With Criminal by Fiona Apple?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe they told him he was doing jazz, then realized they had too much jazz on the show and were like, actually, it's Broadway. And
we're,
he was like, you know what?
Broadway.
I'm just going to do exactly what I was already planning to do. And we'll just call it Broadway and it'll be fine. The 12-year-olds will not notice. Yeah. They weren't counting on us.
Yeah, this really was a Mark-centric routine, which is fine because Mark completely killed it. So
because
it's nothing against. Right.
Nothing against the routine.
Or the choreography, if it had been jazz. It's just frustrating because Broadway is my favorite style. So
yeah, that must be such an angsty reality for you, though, because if
Broadway is an angsty reality,
they butcher Broadway so much.
Yeah, it is. I love tap and Broadway. We get like one tap routine a season. We get like a Broadway routine and a half sometimes every season. And I love the samba, which we also only get a couple times. So.
I'm sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
I really like, see, ballet is my favorite form of dance, and it's too hard for this show. So they almost never do it. So this show gets to stay in its little corner where they do lovely, and I love like lyrical hip hop and, you know, whatever. And then I can have actual ballet dancers do the actual ballet over at the Opera House, and that'll be good. You know, I get to keep it nice and separate in my head. It's a luxury. Although I also like the jive. I will watch the jive till the cows come home. It's the best.
I do love the jive set to Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne, Anya and Danny.
Oh, just
it's one of my favorites.
Hey, you brought up Danny.
Yeah, it was time. I think we've gotten at least a week without referencing him.
I know, because I take notes. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have some self-control. I haven't mentioned the same people over and over again for at least a couple weeks. So
I'm not interested in not talking about Ivan.
That's fair.
No one's complained yet.
That's very fair. I don't actually remember Ivan that well. I will have to go back and watch some old season two because I don't remember.
Yeah.
Really at all. But I was also so focused on Benji in season two because I'm a girl of particular tastes.
He was my other favorite. I voted for him in the finale.
Just like nice boys who are just like simple.
Yeah.
Nice. And like they talk fast. It's just so appealing.
There were a lot of nice boys on season two. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like there I don't know.
Ivan not a nice boy? There was in the pre-package.
A lot of nice boys.
Oh, he's wearing that thing on his head. Anyway, there were some nice boys. Yeah, that's right. Season two had nice boys. Yes. As is season three, except they were a little edgier.
A little edgier. Every season gets a little edgier.
Yeah, every season's a little bit edgier. And then there was the Paul season, and we went back a couple steps.
Yeah. So wholesome. So nice Spencer boy. Liff also did this routine between Taylor and Lex. And all right, speaking of poor versions of previous routines, here we go. They do a bird routine and he's kind of dressed like Hawk. And oh, she's not Jamie. I mean, no one's Jamie, but Taylor is not Jamie.
I thought this was really funny because was it Mary who said you reminded me of Hawk as like a throwaway last line, which is so funny to me because that was one of the first routines that really incorporated like they took a hip hopper out of his genre. But then they used who was that? Was that had to have been Wade Robson, right?
For the hummingbird routine?
Yeah. Who did
that? I'm pretty sure it wasn't Sonia.
She wasn't there yet. I think it was Wade Robson.
I think it was Wade.
Where he incorporated Hawk's like popping ability
like
into a contemporary piece in a really insightful way.
Yeah.
But what we were dealing with here was actually just like something much more generic than that. And so basically what Mary was saying when she was just like, you reminded me of Hawk, was she was kind of like, you remind me of someone who was not trained to do this style, which made me laugh a lot because Lex's whole thing is that he's perfectly trained.
I found this routine so boring, and the judges are on their feet and Nigel says one of the best routines we've ever seen on So You Think You Can Dance, which I know that I said about a different routine earlier, but I couldn't believe it. So I went back and I was like, maybe I was like checking Twitter or something during the amazing part. So I'm going to go back and rewatch it. I just couldn't believe it. I found this to be such a nothing routine. Yeah. It was fine. They are both, you know, good technical dancers. Obviously, I think that Lex is a great dancer, but just nothing about this routine was special to me.
Yep, I completely agree with you. There was a lot of walking around. That always annoys me. And there was a lot of like leg lifts. And at a certain point, we just need to trust that they can lift their leg. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was kind of showy, but then there was no, it didn't feel like there was dancing in the spaces in between. It was just like walk and then leg lift and then turn and then walk. And it was beautiful, but it wasn't impressive, nor was it moving. And I think that there's no excuse for it not being those things when you're dealing with people this perfectly trained who have a connection already. Like, it just, the lack of wow factor is really irritating me with both of these people.
Yeah.
Especially Lex, because it's actually kind of crazy how little I care about this person considering his dance ability. Like, he should be the front runneriest front runner, but I feel like he should go home soon. Like, I'm so over it. Like, ah.
Yeah, I think he would also benefit from Logan not being there, because I think that Logan is almost as good technically and is more interesting and also has personality.
Yeah.
And is the same age. So they kind of just, I don't know. I love to watch them both, but yeah, it's tough, especially like, so this other routine that Lex does, his routine with Gabby, afterward, Kat asks him a question and he just doesn't say anything.
Oh my God.
She just like holds the mic to his face and he just breathes. And it's like, oh my God, this person, I truly believe that Lex was born to be a dancer. He was not born to be a public figure.
Yeah. And he will probably have a wonderful career dancing behind people for the rest of his life.
He already does.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is exactly the thing I was talking about earlier. He is so not a star. The interesting thing about dance, though, is that, like, So You Think You Can Dance came, it was sort of, it wasn't really a spinoff, but it was sort of like a spinoff of American Idol. But they're actually looking for the opposite things. Like, the successful people on this show go on for a lifetime of being backup dancers. And the successful people on American Idol are, like, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're, like, actual, they're the people who stand in front of said backup dancers. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it is such a strange thing, because in order to be like a star and stand out on a show like this and win it, you sort of have to not be what you're supposed to be successful in this field. And having a personality and being eloquent and shining on camera and being someone who's easy to root for, those don't matter at all. He's going to be so successful. But I think anyone's crazy if they vote for him, because he's just not... Like, he's like a cardboard cutout of a person. I just don't care about Lex and his ridiculous lack of, I don't know, light behind the eyes.
So you're not a part of hashtag Lex Nation?
Oh my God. I think they're making these things up. Like Daddy Kiki and Lex Nation, I just don't think they're real. I think an intern at Fox started them. They're just not. No.
Yeah. And it's just, I can't even like search for them on Twitter, because now people are tweeting them because been a thing on the show. But no one was tweeting Daddy Kiki before 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's an ingenious ploy.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, some people were tweeting it.
Maybe it was Jenna's idea.
I was going to say,
the whole thing was Jenna's
idea. People are
idea.
Tweeting it, but it seems like Jenna Johnson's Stan accounts mostly.
So extra points to, or more evidence for our Jenna Johnson, like, secret evil genius fly, like, idea. However, I don't think that these are real hashtags that anyone actually genuinely, because they're for the least rootable contestants ever. Like, I just... Whatever. Although somebody did point in the comment section, and this might be an argument for why the judges are so enamored with Lex beyond just his technique. He was on, when he was a teenager, he was on some show produced by Nigel about being a teenage dancer.
Huh.
So yet another conflict of interest is arising. Looks like a fun show. I'd definitely be into watching it. It's called The Dance Academy.
Your theory about Jenna being an evil genius is confirmed. There is a video from her Instagram that someone posted on August 14th of her saying hashtag Daddy Kiki. It's one of the first times this hashtag appears. She's, oh my God. I think that we need to watch out for Jenna taking over the world.
Yeah. Although she's back in the Dancing with the Stars troupe, like we said she would be, which is interesting, though, because I think it's premiering before the finale of this show. So I think they're just expecting her to go home. I don't really know how that works. Or maybe she's joining the Dancing with the Stars troupe late, or maybe I have my dates wrong. But I think it's starting. I think they're doing the cast announcement like next week. So we have another couple weeks of this show. So I don't know how that's working. But there seems to be so much synergy now that maybe they struck a deal.
Yeah. If we're going to have So You Think You Can Dance with the Stars soon. It's just going to turn into one mega show.
That's essentially what the show is now. I mean, like Emma and Sasha choreographed last week. Like, basically, and Nigel did a whole bit about Dancing with the Stars and Cyrus going on Dancing with the Stars. And like, I don't know that we've had a week where it hasn't come up yet.
I will say,
especially because Nigel's so obsessed with Val now.
Nigel, we glossed over Nigel's super uncomfortable comment about his divorce after the Logan and Allison routine. He's like, I don't know. My marriage didn't look like that. Maybe that's why she divorced me. Ha
I feel like we've heard this from him before, though. Nigel. This, like,
I will say, I thought that the Lex and Gabby contemporary routine, I had absolutely no complaints with. They did what they should have done. It was great.
I gotta say, I completely don't remember it. I seem to think it was beautiful. I don't know that I could tell you anything else about it.
What was it? Was Mandy Moore again? So I don't know. Maybe she's just out on stories. I don't know. I don't have any story written down.
I literally don't remember what's happening. Like, it's gone. I stopped taking notes this week because I was so busy live tweeting and making Mary mad.
It was definitely about love in some form. Like, sure. I don't know.
Like,
whatever.
Like, Alex has feelings.
Yeah, it was great. It was well danced. I didn't think it was an outstanding routine itself, but I'm always impressed with Gabby's contemporary, I think, because I keep forgetting that she can do it.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely did come away from this week thinking Lex is a beautiful dancer. Yeah. That's not new information. Not to keep harping on this, I just think it's so remarkable. You have to be so uninteresting to be that good of a dancer and for me to not like you. Like, it's such an endorsement of him to be such a beautiful technician, which means like he's so dedicated and he's put so much into it. Like, that's a really, to be an extraordinary dancer says a lot about your character. And it's hard to make me not like a dancer. So for me to care so little about him, he has to be the least interesting man in the world. Yeah. Like, it's not like Taylor, who I think is a mediocre, like, she's a fine technician and whatever, but she's a mediocre contemporary girl who fits in with all the other ones.
So Taylor. But, oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. So it's remarkable how far he has to go. Like, he has to be so bad for me to care this little.
Yeah. So Taylor and Robert do a Luther Brown hip hop routine. And
I also hated this.
Yeah. And the story is that Taylor is a woman with an extremely distracting ponytail. And that is all.
Yeah, this was so stupid. Like, I can't. This was also, I don't know what Luther's doing, but like, his Mark and Comfort routine in week one was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And in the last few weeks, he's just been doling out, like, he did the super easy Suicide Squad routine. Then he did the disaster nonsense that he applied to Paul and Sydney last week. And then there was this, which looked so much. It was just the Suicide Squad routine, except like maybe a little harder.
Well, the judges keep saying that his choreography is amazing, so he's not changing it. But it's not. It's not amazing.
But the first one was amazing. Yeah. And I feel like there's another one in there in the middle somewhere that was good. But I also hated his group routine last week.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I love him. He's Canadian. I'm all for Luther Brown. But that's like four routines in a row. And at a certain point, we are well past, like, you know, I just miss Christopher Scott.
Yeah. We're in Happy Tabs.
Where are nappy tabs? I tweeted that, and then somebody was really mean about it. And I was like, well, I like them, so go away.
Well, I just am confused because they were in the academy.
They were.
So I don't know where they are.
I think they're busy. Mm. But there were so, like, this show has such a history of good, like, it's not hard to find a good hip hop choreographer.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Why don't we just let Twitch choreograph? He's like around.
Cannot answer your questions.
I mean, he's busy, but that one week where the week that Mark, we discovered Mark could choreograph, was like a big look at all of our dancers. They get to our all-stars finally get to choreograph this week. They all did a great job.
Yeah.
We are obviously obsessed with Travis, but then we're borrowing borrowing choreographers from So You Think You Can or from Dancing with the Stars, but they're exactly the same as So You Think You Can Dance people. Like, they're not more qualified to be choreographers. So, like, I don't know. Get Ivan to choreograph a hip-hop routine when he's not on. He's on tour right now. But like,
Justin Timberlake?
I don't know who he's on tour with. I just know he's on tour for another 2 weeks. Mm. But the, like, just have
now
somebody.
Now he's obsessed.
I don't know. He told me. So there are hip-hop dancers out there. Have Dominic choreograph. I don't care. There are so many hip-hop choreographers to hire.
Yeah.
Where's Hawk? Do we know what's up with Hawk?
No, I don't know.
Somebody does. Hawk. Somebody comment.
One of our listeners
let us know what's up with Hawk, because you guys know
he's verified on Twitter. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's important, because some people are not doing super well with the Twitter followers, because they were from an era before, like they were on the show before Twitter.
Yeah, no, Hawk is doing something, because he has 60,000 followers on Twitter.
Whoa, yeah. Ivan is like, no.
Yeah, well, listen, it's not a competition. So Hawk is definitely doing something in the dance world or in the real world. I don't know.
Who do we know? Does Dragon House actually have a leader, or do we just sort of like feel like it's Cyrus because Cyrus is the first person we met? Because why don't they have a couple Dragon House guys come in and collaborate on a hip hop routine?
I do not know.
There are so many answers to this question is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if Luther Brown is underperforming as he has been for the last 3 weeks in a row, get rid of him. Although they liked this routine. So what do I know?
Yeah. The most important thing is that Robert's hip hop name is Bob.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's a street name.
It was the funniest thing.
It was like Lil Taylor and Bob.
It was like T-Lo or something, wasn't it? But yeah, okay. But that was honest to God comedy gold right there.
Yeah,
that was really impressive.
This routine was acceptable. I am just so frustrated with them going nuts when a contemporary dancer does a passable hip hop routine and being so hard on hip hop dancers when they do a good contemporary routine.
Also, this was stupid. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I thought it was like, danced this was so acceptably. Dumb.
Well, it was fine. It was danced fine. It was not danced impressively.
Yeah, like,
they were both
way.
They were both way too high. Neither of them was sharp enough. Like, this was like, obviously Robert was better than Taylor, but like, she was not significantly better than when Sydney did hip hop. And if we're going to tear Sydney apart,
I thought she was significantly better than when Sydney did it.
But no, she was not significantly better. Her routine was less horrific.
Yeah,
it was still bad.
I don't know.
Less horrific.
I thought she did better.
She was not. She was a little bit better. But she wasn't significantly better than Sydney. And if we're going to tear Sydney completely apart, like, I just, it's like Taylor has them mystified somehow. Like, maybe they think she's gonna kick them in the head if they don't approve of her, or I don't know what, but she, or like, if she gets voted out, Lex is gonna quit. I don't know what. Somebody's got somebody under some sort of blackmail situation, because they like keep leaping out of their seats the second she like walks onto a stage. It's annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't get in the judges' heads with Taylor or with this routine, or
also because it's a dangerous place.
Yeah, maybe. Or it's just like cavernous. I don't know. That's mean.
It's just big and empty and full of like just darkness.
I don't know. This is mean. I don't want to be too shady towards poor Taylor. It's just like a.
No, we're talking about the judges' heads are cavernous.
Oh.
Taylor probably has brains in there.
Yeah, probably.
Because you have to in order to practice all those leg lifts.
That's true. She does a lot of tilts. This is why we did not need any more solos. It's like, we know that Taylor can do 4 tilts in 30 seconds.
Yeah. There's something to this idea of some of them doing solos and some of them not doing solos. But the only time that ever happened was when it was like, if you were in danger, you did a solo, and that was all a farce.
Yeah, that was fun.
And it meant that we got a lot of hip hop solos, because oftentimes they just like weren't prepared for their partner dance, and so then they had to save themselves with their solos. Hip-hop solos are always great. I would watch Mark solo forever, but that format would never let us watch Lex or Logan, and they're the two, like, I miss the solos because we're no longer getting one Mark, but mostly Lex and Logan's solos. But we are being spared just watching Taylor do whatever it is Taylor does and Kiki do whatever it is Kiki does. So, you know, double-edged sword, I guess.
Yeah. So that is our episode. And we went over this bottom three. So the elimination was spoiled for me. It's just impossible if I don't watch it live for this not to be spoiled. But
really? Who are you following on Twitter that's spoiling this?
I don't know. The So You Think You Can Dance account or something.
Oh, that might be it. Because I get an email from their press office and even that doesn't spoil me.
Yeah.
Because I just don't open it. And they don't. They're very smart about like the subject line.
Yeah, I don't know where I saw it. No one tweeted it at me or anything. It's just a lot of my timeline. I don't know. So I saw this.
Because I'm never spoiled on So You Think You Can Dance. But I did have to, for Big Brother, I had to unfollow a whole bunch, or not unfollow, but like mute a whole bunch of people. And same thing with Bachelor, because that gets spoiled.
Yeah, I think any show, any reality show I watch is just going to get spoiled for me. So this was spoiled for me, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, who had to be in the bottom three that Dassie is going home? That means that Kiki wasn't in the bottom. That means that probably...
No, like they would eliminate Kiki over
Dassie. I don't know.
They love
Yeah, but I thought that they loved Dassie,
too. And Jenna might murder them.
Yeah, Jenna would murder them. She has really big eyes.
Like, there's no...
They're scary.
Oh my God. What an annoying thing to say. Like, oh, she's just so irritating. I can't do it.
My face is just so well proportioned. It's so weird. Whatever, I love her.
Oh my God.
Yes, I
no,
do.
You
do.
How?
I do. If you're allowed to love Paul, I'm allowed to love Jenna.
Yes, but I freely admit I don't know why I love Paul.
I think that Jenna is also just a crazy evil genius and I'm in on it.
Ugh. No. I think Paul is a nice guy. Like, that's all. I just think he's sweet. I think it's, you know, he's not that remarkable, but I think he's a lovely person.
That's fine.
And that's all I want in a person. And Jenna's just like a psycho.
Maybe that's all I want in a television character.
I have really big eyes. Ugh. Gross. Friggin' princess. She's like a cartoon princess, but like also the evil queen.
See, I love that. That's great.
And mixed together.
Okay.
Ugh. No. I just want like nice people. I'm loving Allison lately, I will say. Like, I sometimes think that Allison's boring, but like in the last couple weeks, I've really just gotten in a place where I just want someone who's like nice and simple, and she goes out and she's really hardworking and she's really professional. She puts her head down and she does her work and that's it. We don't have to hear about like, oh, it's so hard doing our kissing scene. Like, she just does it and it's great. Like, I'm just, her level of professionalism I'm finding really refreshing, and I'm on the Allison train right now.
I'm also on the Allison train, of course, but I'm also on the Jenna train. And someone commented on our last podcast that they like that we aren't afraid to disagree with each other. So you are welcome for leaning into that.
Well, yes. And what I said to that was it's a very closely held principle of both of ours that if, you know, we are outspoken and we have license to say those things, especially as young women who often like don't get to say our opinions, you know. So I think that's like a really important thing on this podcast. And if you have an opinion, as long as you're not mean about it, say it in the comment section and tweet us. And we always want to hear your opinions. And someone tell me why I should.
I can't explain to you why someone is attractive. I think that his face is handsome and he has a great body. That's not an explanation. It's just the truth. It's just a true thing that I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but he's a dancer. Like, of course. I don't know. Of course.
Yeah, but dancers can all have different bodies. Dancer. Like, they all have fit bodies, but some of them are very muscular and some of them are shorter and some of them are, I don't know, whatever. I'm not on trial.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, we discovered this week the extent, like, I always knew we kind of disagreed about dudes, but like we super disagreed about dudes. So this is like a very illuminating week in terms of taste in men. That said, I still want the job of running your love life. I think that'd be really fun. I'd be really good at it.
Okay, fine. We can still roll with that if I ever live in Toronto.
I'm telling you, my friends are getting married. I introduced them. This is the second pair.
I believe you. I would not have inquired that you performed this task for me if I didn't trust you.
Yeah, I'm very proud of my setup track record. Yes.
There's not too much to say about the results. I think this is a crazy bottom three. I don't think these three women should be in the bottom.
Yeah. Coining.
What are you doing, America? Come on.
I mean, I get Kaylee, because I think that if you're not quite sure what to do, I do think that her and Cyrus are really playing from the bottom here, and the judges really are against them. So, and the judges are going to have an effect. I understand Kaylee. I'm worried for Kaylee. Kaylee could go at any minute. I she's a little bit on borrowed time. That's not necessarily fair, but based on like the way that the season seems to be going, I do think Kaylee's on borrowed time. Koine, that was ridiculous. Now that Koine and Mark have been in the bottom, I just don't know. I can't.
Clearly the judges in America are just seeing something in Taylor that we aren't. And that's just what is happening here.
And maybe they're being led by us, but like the comment section doesn't seem to see anything in Taylor either. We get tweets every single week about Taylor and Lex just being like, whatever. And Kiki, yeah. This is true. Like all three of them. And it's very possible that we're just having a bit of an echo chamber mob mentality situation. Yeah. And, you know, we're leading from the front a little bit with our strong opinions. But like, come on, guys, if every single Rehapup listener agrees, then what's everyone else thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but. Thankfully, Koine is safe. The look of relief on Marco's face melted my heart. Oh my God.
And then every time they were in a wide shot, they were just like wrapped in each other, yes. As if they thought that if they let go, they'd fall down.
Yeah, it was like
it was so beautiful.
Yeah, oh my God. It was like she was just came back from the army or something. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. I liked it so much. I just those two make me so happy.
I want Marco to look at me like that. That's how I feel.
Marco is now okay. So far, that is a person who is so incredibly easy to root for. Like my heart just feels attached to his. Anytime he does anything, if Marco feels strongly about something, I'm like, I just want you to be happy so badly. He doesn't do anything in particular to achieve this. He's just so easy to root for. It's such an amazing quality. I just love him so much.
Yeah. Bullet or no bullet. Whatever.
Oh my God, the bullet. It's just such a like weird thing that I remember about him that never gets brought up anymore. It's just like, and there's also a bullet. It's weird.
Now it's like all I can think about when you talk about Marco.
He's also from Guam.
He is from Guam.
And Guam's in some trouble right now. So like
Marco,
it's relevant.
Country.
I'm worried because he's not from Guam the way that Koine is from Japan. Like Koine's family lives in the US. Like when Marco his mom had to fly in from Guam to see him compete on like 1 week of the show. So like his family's in Guam. So he must be really distracted right now and he's still dancing beautifully.
Yeah, and he's not Mary Murphying it and saying, listen, there's tragic stuff in my family.
In all fairness, it could be really like, I don't want to diminish because we don't know what it is. It was so incredibly defensive. Yeah. And like, don't be defensive. Just like, you know what I mean? If you make a mistake, own that you made a mistake and move on.
Yes.
Like,
come on. I agree. So that is our.
But if there's something really wrong with Mary, I hope for the best for Mary.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. This is not to say that she's being dramatic or anything like that. Just that
she is being dramatic.
The animosity on Twitter. Be nice to Kelly on Twitter, everyone. Really? So
yeah, oh yeah, I don't take criticism well, so like don't come at me.
That is our episode. Great episode, very strong episode. I will be watching that they call me mother routine for the rest of my days. I sent it to my group chat with my best friends, even though none of them watch So You Think You Can Dance. Because we all love.
Is that Logan and Allison?
What?
It's the group
routine. Yeah. I thought you were asking if my group chat was Logan and Allison. And I was like, yes, my best friends.
My group chat is Logan
just
and Allison.
The three of us. So yeah, no one in that particular chat watches So You Think You Can Dance, but we all love Lady Gaga. So they sort of know who Mark is because he was one of her lead backup dancers. And I was just like, everyone watch this. It's really gay and great and amazing and awesome.
It is.
Men in crop tops.
All those things.
Forever, please.
It was fabulous. And here, not to make you just incredibly sad, but imagine if Robert was still around, how good he would have been in that routine. Other Robert.
Oh my God.
He would have been
especially because
so, like,
Jasmine came out with the huge crown. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Now I'm sad.
He would have been that was like a tailor made for him routine.
Yeah. That is true. I also thought, just one more note about this group routine. They didn't really highlight either of them, but in the shots where you could see both Lex and Logan, this is like the kind of thing where Logan totally outshined Lex because it's so much performance. And
yeah. Which is weird because I thought Lex was so good in the disco routine.
Yeah, that's true. It's not that Lex can't perform. It's just this seemed a little uncomfortable for him and Logan was just totally leaning into it.
Yeah.
So just a note there. And again, I am not anti-Lex or anti-Kiki. I do want to say that. I'm happy to keep watching Jenna routines. So I'm fine with Kiki staying around.
I am anti both of those people. Because I just don't like them as people. So there's that. Although apparently Val was very upset when Kiki was fired from the Dancing with the Stars troupe, which is an article that was discovered this week. That was kind of funny. He in 2012, he tweeted about it because they go way back.
Yeah. And now Kiki is making out with his girlfriend on stage.
Yeah. Performers are so weird. I can't. Did I talk about this last week? But I just don't understand.
Yes.
I think I did. I don't understand how you people can do this. Just come on. I'm going to marry a nice scientist or a professor or someone who it's not part of their job to make out with other people.
Yes.
That is. It's certainly not part of my job to choreograph it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's strange. I don't understand it, but I am glad that it hasn't torn apart the beautiful friendship between Kiki and Val.
Yeah. I think Val is a pretty secure guy.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
He's pretty hard to
turtlenecks that screams security.
He's so confident.
He's so
everyone
bold and brash. That Val.
Where's his brother? His big brother is too insecure to wear sparkles. It's it's a whole thing. It's a Dancing with the Stars subplot.
Keeping Up with the Shurikovskys and Jenna, I'm telling you, it would be an amazing show.
Yeah. Because of PETA too, and then Sharna and PETA are best friends. It would be. I have no idea why that's not a show.
Yeah, once the Freeform has an open spot for whatever, the Ben and Lauren or the twins, Happily Ever After. Yeah, they need to do the Shmierkovskys, Happily Ever After.
Yeah, because it's ABC too, so it's probably the same parent company. That's a very good idea. We'll just bring that up with Freeform and they'll do it. We'll call them.
Yeah, we'll call them up, our people at Freeform.
Yeah, we can do that. There was a revelation last week that Eric Stein's a reality TV producer now, right? We can get to
that's
him.
That's true. So we'll talk to Taryn and Taryn will talk to Eric and it'll
it's 7 degrees of separation. Yeah. It's fine. And now the Shmierkovskys have a show.
For us to pitch our esoteric reality show.
About people we do not know. Yeah.
It's fine. It's a great idea.
We stopped talking about this episode 20 minutes ago.
So. I would say that Keeping Up with the Shmierkovskys would be our hashtag, but I really can't ask anyone to spell that. So
yeah,
we're sorry.
We don't do hashtags. If you want to do Keeping Up with the Shmierkovskys, go ahead. We don't do hashtags. We don't do user questions. We don't do
We will bring up user questions and comments if they are interesting information, which they often are. I feel like we talk about our comments plenty because people tell us things that we don't know.
Well, because our commenters are so smart.
Yeah, they're so helpful.
Their investigatory skills are extraordinary. top of the class.
Yeah.
They're always telling me things that I don't know. And they haven't been wrong yet. This is the main one. Like, a lot of people will tweet during Dance with the Stars. People were always tweeting, like, information at me. And it was often wrong. It was often like, so-and-so never substituted for so-and-so, or so-and-so did this. I'm like, and they were never right. And it was ridiculous. Our people, the So You Think You Can Dance commenters, are on point every week.
On the ball.
And I'm very impressed.
So please keep commenting. Please keep telling us. I got a Team Step Up person. This week, I feel like you really dominated last week, but I came back a little.
You know why though? Because I complained about not having anybody.
And I lost a team member. I lost my fourth pick in Dacian Fiction. Gotta say, I'm not devastated. I have said before that my hopes are on Lex and Gabby and Logan and Allison. I'm not expecting Kiki and Jenna or Dacian Fiction. I was never expecting them to pull this out. So,
who were your fifth picks? Who were your last?
I have
people?
Kiki and Jenna.
Oh, they were last.
I had Robert and Jasmine third.
Mine, they just cut the last place people. Yeah. But my fourth pick were Robert and Taylor. So I'm more worried about Kaylee and Cyrus, who I think were like my second.
They were
pick.
Your
they
third
were right
pick.
At the top.
Yeah,
because the other two were. So interesting that you still have your number five. I still have my number four, but I think that they're going to be there for a long time. Interesting to see how this turns out. If you are Team Center Stage, tweet at us, ER or RE on center. I don't care. We had a Canadian comment this week about how they wanted to spell it wrong, but they were Team Step Up, so it's fine. But I have to always remind myself that it's ER because the movie was ER because it was made in
the
States.
That's true. So we welcome spellings of all kind. Just let us know. And
all
let
time.
Us
we don't just
and let us know spellings. If Kiki and Lex are hot. This is really important to me.
And also, I am also just curious. I want to know everybody's answer to the call-in question.
Oh, like, yeah. Hashtag team
so
neither.
Team neither. Neither? Neither. They're both handsome, but Firth is like, come on. Anyway. We should probably go. That's been
our classic one. Hour and a half episode. So I think.
Oh my god! Last week was an hour and 41 minutes.
Yeah. So let's wrap up and share our social media. What are you up to? Okay, where can we find you?
I'm up to not a lot. I'm going to a lot of TIFF screenings right now, so movie reviews, but they're all embargoed, so nothing is the answer. All that nothing is available in myentertainmentworld.ca. Other writers are doing interesting things there. I'm just not right now. Because all my work is embargoed. You can follow me on Twitter at myentworld, myent world. It's also Instagram. And I've been doing a lot of reality TV tweeting. So actually follow me. I feel like I've gotten like no new followers. So, follow me. That's me. It's a business account, but it's me. I followed Lita this week, realized I hadn't yet. That was a little...
I noticed that and I was like, oh, she probably just unfollowed me and then refollowed me, like unfollowed me by accident. I don't know.
Nope. You came up in my recommended people list.
You,
I was
you
like,
may
oops.
Know this person.
Yeah. Also, it keeps telling me to follow like some really questionable people. And then it was just like, and Lita tweeted. And I was like, oh,
never heard of her.
I should probably...
My
I tweeted for like every
my
day.
Recommended to follow is only Big Brother people and like people who are on Big Brother and So You Think You Can Dance choreographers. So that tells you all you
can
need
I say
know.
One time I screenshot this because it was the greatest. I follow Cookie Monster on Twitter,
right.
As you should all because he's hilarious. The day after I liked a cookie or like right after I liked a Cookie Monster tweet, as you do, my recommended, you know, the three in the corner, it turned to number one was Oscar the Grouch. Number two was Big Bird. And number three was Edward Snowden.
Perfect. My three favorite Muppets or
right?
Whatever Sesame Street characters.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I didn't follow any of them, though all three very compelling figures.
Yes, in their own way.
But you know who's more compelling? At Lita Tweeted.
Yes. So you should follow me on Twitter, at Lita Tweeted, just as Kelly does. And you should...
now? Yes, I do.
Yes. And you can follow me on Instagram, at Lita Grammed. I am in a different city all the time, so hopefully my Instagram is actually interesting for a while.
But But you know what? If you feel bad about your own athletic abilities really easily, don't follow Lita on Instagram. She can do all this stuff that I can't do, like yoga poses and climbing stuff. And that's like most of her Instagram is just like really impressive physical feats.
Well, there's a lot of food too. I eat a lot of vegan junk food,
which also makes me feel bad.
But it's like tacos and things like that. Poke bowls and wings. Sure. Okay. Anyway, you should follow me there. And yesterday, Taryn and I recorded the American Ninja Warrior recap with my dream guest. We recorded with Megan Martin. I'm so excited. She is my favorite ever. I got to meet her in Vegas. I was freaking out. I was totally geeking out on the podcast yesterday. So that should be out soon. Look for that. And this week,
when are they going to Vegas so we can hear the one where you talk about going to the...
This week we are.
Is it this week?
Yes. Monday is the first episode of the Vegas finale. And you should definitely watch that, even if you've never watched American Ninja Warrior before, because Taryn and I were there. We were in the front row. We were told by the PA that there was a very good chance that we are going to be on TV just because of where we're standing and the fact that they want to cut to 20 somethings because there aren't very many of them there. There's a lot of children and old people because it's like. Families, like parents of the contestants. So he says that he told us that they were probably going to cut to the 20 somethings. So hopefully we can do that. And you should take a screenshot and send it to me because I need a new cover photo on Facebook.
Oh my God.
If Taryn and I are
going to watch it online after the fact, because my DVR can only record two things at once. And that's both Dancing or So You Think You Can Dance
and Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, night.
It's a big night, those Monday nights. And they're all 2 hour shows. So it's a lot. So, yes, follow me on those places and definitely check out that podcast. And if that's all we got, we will see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. So You Think You Can Dance.